Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for coming to this Christian Aid Partner Visit Talk this afternoon. My name's Chris and I'm based at the Christian Aid office in Oxford. Christian Aid is a Christian organisation that works with people of all faiths or none to tackle the root causes of poverty in around 50 different countries around the world. Today we're privileged to have Thelma Nantini, who is the project manager of Christian Aid funded projects for the Dabane Trust, which is one of Christian Aid's partner organisations in Zimbabwe. The Dabane Trust was established in 1991 and it was set out to try and work with rural communities in Zimbabwe living in semi-arid and arid conditions to try and improve their access to water. Before I pass over to Thelma, I was fortunate enough to go and visit the Dabane Trust in September last year, and I thought it would be a nice introduction just for me to briefly share a few of the things that particularly inspired me about my visit to visit Thelma and the work that the Dabane Trust is doing. So as I said, the Dabane Trust is working to improve rural communities' access to water in extremely dry conditions. They're doing this, which Thelma will explain later, by building, one way is by building what's called sand dams, but the water that they're helping communities to access is being used to irrigate nutrition gardens. And one thing that particularly inspired me was just what a contrast it was between the nutrition gardens and the how green they were compared to the surrounding dry, arid landscape. And it was really seemed like sort of pockets of hope that they were developing and supporting communities to develop. I met a very, very, very briefly. I met a lady named Scar who was helping to build one of these sand dams. And she explained that how the community was heavily involved in this and how she worked in such hot conditions in order to build this sand dam, just to improve access to water, which is something we take for granted each day. So we're just going to play this short video, which is a video about the Dabane Trust work. And because the Dabane Trust is a Christian Aid Week partner, it's being featured as part of Christian Aid Week's publications. This is a video that's been produced for Christian Aid Week about the Dabane Trust.
It's lunchtime for the Ndlovu family. Chabalisa Ndlovu and his wife Suzanne live with their children in the dry southwest of Zimbabwe, and their lives have been transformed with the help of Christian Aid's partner, the Dabane Trust. Not long ago, Chabalisa and his family could only afford to eat one meal a day, but now they eat a wide range of healthy and nutritious food. They are one of the 5,000 families in the area to have benefited from a project of dam building initiated by the Dabane Trust. Christian Aid's partner chose this area because food is scarce and difficult to produce here. Gwanda is an area of Zimbabwe where rainfall is increasingly erratic because of climate change. The emphasis here is on helping families to become resilient in the face of droughts and unreliable weather patterns. And the first step is to help them access a regular supply of clean water.
Dabane Trust has been researching for the past 20 years on easy ways of how to draw water from the sandy rivers that you find in Matabele and South. And we have come up with several ways, one of them being constructing sand dams, where we're actually gathering the sand that would have flown into that river and then fitting in pumps to draw water from beneath that sand. The other method is to just go to a river where the sand is already gathered and we sink in well points.
Alongside the Bajela Dam, Christian Aid's partner has helped the community to create market gardens, irrigated by the new water project. Jabalisa is the chairman of the market gardens.
Kuqala besihlupheka ngoba besingela amanzi indawo yethu iyomi. So besihlupheka ukuthi sizuze uzamanzi ukuthelela ingadi kathe sesilamanzi enziwa lidamu ayiso sokusebenza ngemva kokulima kwethu sesiduze amanzi sazuza isivuno esihle samabhathanati abantu abethu baze badla amabhathanati sazuza kuyathengisa ukuthi siduze imali okunye sithalela e-processing centre ukwenza thize siphile.
The processing centre was built by the community with the help of Christian Aid's partner. The farmers pay a subscription fee, and as members, they bring their surplus crops to the centre, where they can be processed into commodities like popcorn or peanut butter. And importantly, vegetables can also be dried and preserved for use out of season. The Bajela Dam and the thriving market gardens next to it have provided both food and potential incomes to the families in the area. With your help, Christian Aid has been able to make an enormous difference to the lives of people like Jambisa and Zuzema.
Okay, I'd like to welcome Thelma to come and give a talk for about 30 to 40 minutes, and then we'll take some questions afterwards. So, Thelma, if you'd like to come and present. Thank you. If you stand, the microphone's just sort of here, so I can click for you.
Yeah. First and foremost, I would like to say greetings from Zimbabwe, and in our language we say Salibonani. The language that I speak is from the southwestern side of Zimbabwe, which is generally Sindebele. The northeastern side is generally Shona. Of course, we have got the other dialects which either fit into Shona or either fit into Ndebele. I'm Thelma Ntini, like was already been indicated there. I work as a project manager for the Christian Aid funded projects within this organization called Dabane Trust. In fact, the name Dabane is not an English word. I'm sure most of you have already realized that. It's a Ndebele word for a shrub that kind of withers, and you would think it's dead during winter. But should you pour a little water on it, you find that it kind of resurrects, and the following day it's all green. This is actually the idea behind the whole project of Dabane Trust, where we're saying from an arid or semi-arid area, we are trying to resurrect life, to have life, because this is the only land that we have. We cannot, we don't have any other land, so we need to survive, kind of like resurrect from the semi-arid and the dry area. I'm married to Richard. He's a retired civil servant. He was serving within the Ministry of Agriculture. By profession, I'm a teacher, but I think I really envied the work that he was doing, because he was working with adults and I was working with kids. And I would always complain that kids are giving me a headache. I wish I had a similar job as yours, where you are working with adults and you can actually sit down to discuss issues and come to an agreement. Even if you disagree, but at least you would have discussed issues. And your work is about having food at the end of the day on the table for the family. Yet, my my work is about, okay, it's also good because I'm starting with, I'm catching them whilst they are young. But it's all about pouring as if I'm saying to myself, I'm the one who should be having all the answers, and I'm pouring to them. Like, it's like they are just vessels that need to be receiving. Because they are not going to say, ah, no teacher, 1 + 1 cannot make 2. I go in there and say, 1 + 1 makes 2. But with adults, it's like you're saying, if you're saying 1 + 1 makes 2, the question will be, how does it make 2? And I think this is the kind of work that I enjoy, where I'm working with adults now, and we sit down to come up with a process. So this is generally about me and how I got to be. When this opportunity arose at Dabane Trust, I sent in an application, and I went for an interview, and I was overjoyed to get the vacancy. So yeah, now I am a development worker, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing because I now deal with adults. And what inspires me is the fact that I deal with adults in the rural poor communities where I think there is need. Yes, as an organization, we are based in town in Bulawayo, but our work is in the remote rural areas where there is need, where there is need for this water, where there is need for the food. Can you click?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. I'll just grab a chair. Hands.
Maybe it's also important for you to, this is our map, this is our Zimbabwe. And as Dabane, we are in the southwestern area, which is Matabeleland North there and Matabeleland South. For those maybe who have traveled, this is the gateway to the Victoria Falls, somewhere up there. Then you go to Zambia. And this is the gateway to South Africa, where you have your Bight Bridge across the Limpopo. That is the Zambezi up there. And the other side is the northeastern side, which I said generally was Mashonaland. So this is where I'm coming from, where we have these projects, where we have the dams, the gardens, the water points, and the water tanks that we have set up with the communities to try and harvest water. Can you click on, please? Right. This is a little bit about Dabane, which Chris alluded to earlier on, where Dabane was established in 1991. And 1 year later, 1992, this is when I joined Dabane Trust. And our relationship with Christian Aid dates back to 1998, where we've been funded for different small projects. And we work with small-scale farmers, like I've already said, who are resource poor in that area, where our vision as an organization is to work with farmers so that at the end of the day, we have a community that is both water secure and food secure. In fact, our logo, on the Dabane Trust logo, it is said, Siqala ngamanzi, a click from that part of the world, which means water is life, and therefore we need to start by providing water to the communities. Then later on, there's quite a lot that they can do with that water to improve their standard of living. So, click on Chris. These are the dry riverbeds that you would find in Matabeleland, south and north, the southwestern regions of Zimbabwe. I was saying to Chris the other day, when I arrived in London, I was taken for a visit around the city. Then I crossed the Thames. I see it's full, it's flowing. The rivers in my country, if you have rain today, they will flow on that particular day. And when you go there the following day, it's almost like it's dry. So these are the river beds that we have in my country, that we are trying to harness this water that is flowing down to stop it somewhere and make use of it. Can we move on? Right? This we do by constructing what we call sand dams. What you see here is what we call a quadrant, which is generally dug using manual labor, pick and shovel. Someone digs, and the next person comes in to shovel out the soil that they've dug. What you are actually trying here is to try and put a wall across that dry river bed, so that when the rains come the next time, we can at least block the water and also block the sand. By so doing, we are actually building up the level of sand little by little. Each time the river flows, we are also building the amount of sand in that river. Can we go on to the next slide? In some cases, where the need is at larger rivers, that could be maybe about 100 meters, 90 to 100 meters across, yes, we tend to use equipment like the tractor that you are seeing there. Because we also think that to have people digging across such a wide river, really, sometimes it's not the best thing that you can have. It's not the best situation. Because we are also dealing here with people who are suffering from other chronic diseases, including HIV and AIDS. Right. What these pictures here, I was trying to illustrate is the story behind this construction of a sand dam. The first picture is the dry riverbed that you saw earlier on. The second picture there are people who are already working on the cold range. The third picture again, they are still working on the cold range. Because after that cold range has been dug, we then pour lots and lots of concrete into the cold range. This will be the concrete that is now blocking the water and the sand. And after the first rains, after having done a certain level here of a concrete wall, when the rains come, already that dam becomes usable to the community. As you can see, the animals, the donkeys, are already drinking from the pool of water that has been now collected. And also upstream, sand is coming in slowly, slowly, slowly. And here what you can see, there are those people you saw in the video who were dancing, actually, whilst working on the pumps. This is one of the pumps that we invented as Dawani Trust, where you are just lifting up and down, and while you do that, water is coming into the reservoir, which you see here. Someone is trying to draw water so that they can go and water their garden, which is in the background there. This is also the garden in this background here. And now they've had surplus, they've taken home the vegetables, they consume as a family, and maybe give to their neighbors or sell to their neighbors. They still have a surplus, they are now taking it to the processing center here. This lady is one of the employees at the processing center, where the produce is then processed, some form of processing that is going on here, where it's being cut, you saw it in the video, cut and dried. Some of the machines are really state-of-the-art machines that we ordered from South Africa so that they could be used at the processing center, where we process these vegetables, we dry them, potatoes, onions, tomatoes, cabbage, whatever we grow in the gardens, we process and pack it. Still some processing going on there. Can we move on to the next one? Going a little bit back again, this is the community working on on the sand dam here. So you can see it's both men, women involved is mixing the mortar there that will be poured into this work here to strengthen the wall that you can see these people standing next to you there. So everyone in the community is involved in sand dam construction. Right? This is a partially completed sand dam where we have this wall. As you can see, lots of sand is already gathered here. But there is still need for us to raise this wall so that we gather more sand. As we gather more sand, we will also have, if the rains come, more water within that sand. Because what we have realized, having worked in that part of Matabeleland, where we are forever in droughts, for the past 10 years, we've not had any meaningful rainfall for us to grow crops, for us to even fill the surface dams that we have. If there is water in a surface dam, our summers are very, very hot. come to our region, September, October, November, the rain season kind of now starts in December, but it used to start in October, maybe because of climate change. You find that our sun is very, very, very hot at that time of the year, and there is lots of evaporation. The evaporation rate is very high, and we tend to lose most of the water if it's an open surface dam. So this is why we opted for the sand dam, where the water is now stored within the sand grains in a river bed. Right? The other problem with a surface dam is livestock, cattle, as you can see there, they enjoy going into the water for them to drink. And when they go in there, they leave all the dirt. So this water becomes unsafe for both using domestically, where you are either drinking it or even using it in the garden. So this is another reason, again, why you opted for the sand dam. Right, this picture here, you can see this is a clean water supply. Because after the sand dam has been constructed, there usually are 3 points. 1 point where you are taking water to use at home, which is what is happening here. The other point where you are watering your livestock now. The third point is where you are taking the water into the garden. You are now watering your crops. You are now producing your crops. You are actually creating your own food security within that particular village. As you can see, this gentleman here, this pump is known as the rower. You can actually operate it whilst seated or whilst standing, like he's standing there, and you are rowing as if in rowing a boat. A bit of press-ups as you work to get your water there. Right? Those are the clean water supplies. So our cattle are now getting clean water. We are also getting clean water. We are also getting water to water the gardens, which is what we've been doing as an organization. Can you click on? Right? Continuing on the clean water supplies with funding from Christian Aid. We've improved, for those who are interested in a bit of statistics, 4,438 people by constructing 7 sand dams in Gwanda and Matobo districts. These are in Matabeleland South. But we have also realized that they still need, this is only a small community. These are only 2 wards. In Matabeleland South, we have about 10 districts. Some of the districts have about 20, 29, or even 39 wards. So we still feel as an organization that there is more that we need to do, because these people all lie within the arid areas of Zimbabwe. So about 50% communities in the rural Zimbabwe use unprotected water sources, because the nearest protected water source for some could be 3 kilometers away. And for generally, it's the women who go and fetch water in our culture. And they'll be carrying this bucket by head. And for them to walk 3 kilometers, it becomes a problem. And therefore, if we have any rains, where there is a pool of water, could it be behind their hut or anywhere in their yard, they'll just go there and scoop that water and use it. So this is why we're trying to bring the water nearer the community, so that we can also avert waterborne diseases like the diarrheal diseases that generally happen in our country, cholera during the rainy season, dysentery, as well as typhoid, and also malaria. Now that we have secured a water source, these are some of the gardens. This is the garden that we call a community-irrigated garden, where about 15 or 20 households come together. They set up a structure with their own leadership. They have a committee that is going to spearhead the running of this garden. And these are some of the crops that they grow that you can see here. A bit of flashy greenness. These are carrots, this is spinach, and spinach again, they well-made beds, mulched as well, because we try as much as we can to conserve the little water that we have. So lots of mulching that we use. Yeah, a little bit about the community gardens that I've already explained there. We can move on to the next one, Chris. Each garden group goes through training of practical garden itself. Which crops do we grow? the nutrition value of each crop. Tomatoes, what is the nutrition value of a tomato? Why should we grow tomatoes? Onions, cabbage, kale, you name it, all the vegetables that can be easily grown in our country. Because there is also a surplus at the end of the day. This is where the marketing and business management comes in. Now that there is a surplus, you could be taking to the processing center. Why are you going to sell this bundle of kale for maybe $1 and not for $2? We discuss the issues around costing, and we also train them how to do records. This year I sold so much of kale and I got so much money. I sold so many heads of cabbage, I got so much money. It helps in planning for the future. This is the construction now of the garden reservoir that you, the reservoir in the garden that you saw earlier on. You can move on, Chris. Besides that big reservoir, there are these smaller tanks again to make the watering easier. So the big reservoir, there is a pipe that is linked from the big reservoir to these small tanks there, where it becomes easier then to take water from there to water these adjacent beds. This is one of the tomato crops in one of the gardens that you can see there. Right? What we have been doing in the garden, what we see, what is happening now, at least they are varied diets. If you want to prepare your meal, you can either use tomatoes, cabbage, whatever you can harvest at that part of the year in the garden. And it has also meant improved household incomes, where the members are now selling to their members, to their neighbors, sorry. They are also selling to the processing center. And what we have also noticed is women now have control on the flow of the benefits from the garden. They are the ones who are working on these gardens, the majority. 85% of the people that we work with are women. And they can now be able to purchase the assets that they want to purchase. Like for us, it is important to have a kitchen where you have got all the utensils, your cutlery, cups, saucers, pots and pans. So you find that these are the things that the women will buy with their first income from the garden. And later they move on to the next level where they are now buying small livestock, because like chickens, goats, sheep, and you tend to earn your dignity within a community because you are now an asset owner, as compared to someone who is considered that they are not making use of their hands and therefore they don't have anything. Right. Here is one of what would, in our organization, we call a success story. This lady's name is Patisi Wendy. She comes from Gwanda. She's a beneficiary in one of the gardens there. You can see in the background here a good maize crop. Maize is our staple in Zimbabwe, but we are also encouraging the communities to grow small grains, which mature faster than maize. This maize matured so nicely because it's being irrigated. It's in the garden. It's not in the rain-fed plot. And for Spatisiwe, this means a lot because her husband went to South Africa 18 years ago. And at the time he went to South Africa, Spatisiwe was expecting their third child. That husband of Spatisiwe is not, doesn't even know this son of his, because he went and he didn't come back home again. But Spatisiwe, through being a member of that garden, has managed with the proceeds of that garden to send the three children to school. She has also managed with proceeds from that garden to construct two more huts in their homestead, because when the husband left, they had only one hut. So you can see, for people like Spatisiwe, that means a lot. And she'll tell you that I'm now respected in the community because I also have a homestead where there are three huts, unlike when I had one, and unlike when I was unable to send my children to school. It means a lot to these women. But the most important thing is, she will say, I have food that I can offer my family in this dry area where I come from. That is very important for the women. And I guess this is what also inspires me. In our culture, it's the women who must see that the family has got food at the end of the day. And if you are not too sure where your next meal will be coming from, it gives you the anxiety that you go through. It's not even healthy to you as the mother of that family. So if you now have food like Spatisiwe has, it really makes you think of other things to do. And by so doing, you are actually developing yourself. When you develop as an individual, and you have got 3, 4, 5 individuals in that particular village, it means at the end of the day, that development is already beginning to have a ripple effect, where it will also reach to those who are not exactly direct beneficiaries of the project, because they will also be able to come and buy vegetables from these gardens. Even there, you can see the women who are working in this garden. A crop of onions that they are showing off in the background, kale there, and cabbage. And it is with the support of organizations like Christian Aid that we as Dabane Trust are able to go to these communities and set up these structures with them, taking them through this process so that in the long run they are able to look after these gardens and manage them on their own. Our approach is developmental. Yes, we do understand the fact that sometimes we always get into disasters. Like if a drought for 3, 4, 5 years, you continue to have a drought, it means that eventually you are going to have a disaster, because not anyone in the village will be able to produce their food, and therefore there will be need for food aid for that village. But as Dabane was saying, we should be able to build resilient communities who are able to deal with their situations, and they know what to do if there is a doubt. They are prepared. They already have dried their food. They've dried their vegetables, so they can now go back and pick those vegetables and use for the food of their families. We also participate in conservation agriculture, where we are now working in the rain-fed plots. Those were the gardens who are getting their watering from the sand dams. And they are generally along the river banks. But inland, where there are no rivers, we are saying, as we collect the little rain that is always erratic and very little, very, very little, it's better to have these basins, these stations, where we are going to plant our crops. And we are also going to improve that soil there. And we will plant crops, even if we do a crop rotation, we still use the same stations. But we try as much as we can to conserve that moisture by applying lots and lots of mulch. Could be in the form of grass, as you can see the lady there applying grass. It could be in the form of leaves. It could be in the form of, if you were lucky enough, that the previous season you harvested some crops, it could be stover from the previous season's crop that you then apply as mulch. We've really proved that if you plant your crops in this piece of land that has been mulched like this, as against a person who just plants where there is no mulch, the yield that comes out of that plot, you find that you get an improved yield from a mulched piece of land. These are what we exactly do in the conservation agriculture program, where we are conserving water through mulching. We have also provided seed inputs. We are training the farmers in conservation agriculture principles and techniques, where we use field schools. And we are also helping the farmers to establish farmers associations. These farmers associations are the groups of steering committees in different villages who are responsible for going into town and bringing in all the inputs that may be wanted in that particular village. So unlike where you have a situation that each one of us is going into town to get their own seed. You contribute your monies together, then the Farmers Association Committee will go to town to bring your seed. And in this picture here, this lady is actually harvesting groundnuts from her conservation plots. The other success story again that I have is the Ofusteni, who is not a beneficiary in one of the irrigated gardens, but is a beneficiary of the conservation agriculture plots, where with the proceeds from that plot, where she actually harvested a surplus of maize, she has been able to purchase this cart that you see. Now she's being hired out because that cart serves as a good transport, taking goods from point A to point B. It could be harvest from the field, it could be taking grain to the grinding mill. And she's also now constructing a brick hut there, as you can see, as compared to previously when she had a pole and mud hut. She also says she's respected in the community now. She is also counted among those people who have got brick huts, which is also good. And these are the biggest challenge has been consecutive droughts affecting yields. But despite this, Davane has achieved. These are some of the things that we've done. 800 kgs per hectare of maize grain, as compared to the same hectare where you would use maybe draft power and you've not used any of the conservation agricultural techniques and you don't harvest anything. We've also improved access to seed locally. In that year, 1,500 kgs of maize seed was collected from these farmers like Stain, and this was given to 293 farmers in the same district, those who had not started to benefit from the program. Besides growing maize, which is our staple, we also encourage farmers to grow small grains like sorghum, pearl millet, finger millet, because these generally are short-season variety crops. It is important to work with farmer field schools because these are the same people who will, when Davane is now moving on to the next district, they will remain in this community, continuing with their project. Since we are talking about food security, we have also realized that food is lost due to the fact that people do not have good storage for it. If, let's say, this family that you see here has harvested about 2,000 kgs of grain, and they've got one or two huts, which they use as a kitchen, they also use as a bedroom, it would be difficult for them to actually keep or store that grain. So we've come up with these structures. It was Davane Trust working with the technocrats from the Ministry of Agriculture who actually designed this structure, which is used as a granary for the crops that have been harvested. Now, these ladies that you see here are employees of the processing center. They are also, besides the preserving food, they are also into baking. They are making some buns there, which are popular with the local community. There are 315 households which make up the group that owns, as it were, the processing center. But the rest of the community, they also in a way benefit from the processing center because you take your produce, you go and sell it there, they give you your money, you go back home, you use that money in whatever way you want to use it. So the center processes lots of peanut butter, and peanut butter is very popular and nutritious with us. We also do fruit juices. We also do popcorn, which is very popular with the school kids. There are three schools near the processing center. The gardens that are bringing in produce to the processing center, 21 gardens in total in that district. And yes, I did say there was a state-of-the-art machinery for the processing processes that are taking place there. What we have also realized as a program is that these issues of water and food security, yes, we can come up with solutions like building sand dams, like maybe drilling boreholes. But there is also the issue of health and HIV and AIDS for our community. During the mid-90s, towards the late 90s, the death rate that was happening in our community was very, very high. And therefore, we came up with this idea of having road shows where would then bring dance, music, drama to the communities, and they would come because there was music and drama, so that we could bring awareness around issues of health, around issues of HIV and AIDS. That is, the road shows continued there. You can see lots and lots of people, both young and old. The same water, when we started, I said water is life for us. If hygiene practices are not taken care of, it can actually cause disasters. So as an organization, we've come up with what we call PHHE, Participatory Health and Hygiene Education, where we are saying around these water sources, there is need for hygiene. The containers with which you collect your water, there is need of hygiene. Even the containers where you are going to store that water, there is need for hygiene. And how do you now draw water from these containers from which we have collected water from the clean water source? So this is why we do the health promotion program, so that people are aware and maybe adopt the hygienic practices that we would have brought awareness to them about. And it is participatory in the sense that we want the communities to be the ones who are spearheading this, so that alone improves the ownership. And therefore, even after we leave that particular community, we are assured that these things will continue because it's now managed by the community itself. Some more statistics there for those who are interested in statistics. This is what we have actually achieved with the fund from Christian Aid. The population figures there of the people that we have helped, and the status of the project, those that have been completed, those that are still ongoing, and as you can see, several have been completed, but there are some that are still ongoing. For instance, the irrigated community gardens, because those ones fit directly to the processing center, which is the enterprise development here. It's still ongoing because there's still a lot for us to learn as an organization, and also for the community. How are we going to manage this processing center as a business entity? So there is still a lot that is going on there. We have also embarked on a project where we are introducing what we call high-value crops to the gardeners, and these crops, we have already secured contracts from the people who are going to buy these crops, so that is also ongoing. This is the strategy that we use as an organization. We really would want to work with people who are willing, because that enhances ownership. This is why I'm saying our project is developmental, so that the community itself are in a position to run the projects around that particular community. Not for us as an organization to come in and say we are going to do things for you. We work with them. When we install the pumps, they are also involved. When there is a problem with any particular pump, they'll be able to fix that problem because they know how it was done. We are also trying to build sustainable irrigated gardens, like I've already alluded to, using pumps and water harvesting systems. We are also reducing the adverse effects of gender insensitivity and HIV through a process of discussion, and also through the provision of clean water supplies, promoting good health and hygiene development. So what you can see here are people sitting down at a meeting to discuss issues. All the stakeholders are involved there. Dabane Trust, local leadership, representatives from government land ministries, like from agriculture, from water resource management, everyone is there. After that, we go out to do a feasibility study. The whole community and these stakeholders, we have the know-how. Thank you. This is what we do as Dawani Trust in that part of the world.
Thank you very much, Thelma. I find it particularly inspiring the range of ways that the Dabane Trust are working with communities, from HIV and AIDS training to conservation agriculture, sand dams, and the extent to which communities are really being empowered to change their situation, I think is fantastic. So we've got an opportunity now to ask Thelma some questions. So if anyone has a question they'd like to ask, please feel free to direct it.
Hi, it's a bit general. But given that a lot of our food is from places that are grown in Africa, so it's like that's imported here, how come there's so much starvation? Why do they just keep some of it themselves?
Yeah, I think that is a very, very good question. What actually happened for us as Zimbabwe after independence? If for those who I can see, maybe two gentlemen here who might have been born before our independence, that is 1980, we were actually known as the breadbasket of Africa. And that meant that as Zimbabwe, we were able to feed our own nation and also to export to the other neighboring countries who were in need. But I'm not a politician myself, but I would like to believe in, I think what we actually did after independence, we didn't sit down to say, this is how we are going to use the land profitably. You remember that immediately after, I think it was 1985, we actually drove out all the commercial farmers from the land that was being farmed profitably. The farmers were able to feed the nation and also export so that we would get revenue as a country. And I think it was a matter of not sitting down to come up with a plan on how we're going to use the land. And what actually happened, the indigenous people all came into the farms. There was no land use plan. And everyone did their own thing. Some started cutting down trees to take firewood to sell in the towns. Some started digging the soil to mold bricks that they would also take to sell into the town. Already, something was going wrong there. And not all who came onto these farms were actual good farmers. Yeah. Some only needed shelter, but they came into a farm and destroyed all the infrastructure that had been put there. So I think slowly, 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 this has led to us being unable to produce enough food for our nation.
Yeah.
And it has also got an economic impact as well. Where, because we haven't been able to produce our own resources, most of our industries have actually closed. And that has now meant that the young people have left the country to go and seek for employment in other neighboring countries. South Africa, Botswana, and I'm sure some of them are here in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these are the young people who, when they come back maybe a year or two later, because they didn't have good accommodation wherever they went, they were exposed to HIV infection. And they come back home too, to die.
Mark. Thank you, Sarah. Fantastic talk. And I'm sorry I have to disappear in a moment. But I was really interested, early on you talked about the gender inequalities, and the good news of what you were saying was the inclusion of women in decision-making and the empowerment. But I'm fascinated, where are the guys? If 85% of your workforce or the workforce who are managing the land are women, does that mean that the men are going to towns and sending money back? Where are the guys?
The guys are not there. The guys have either left for the neighboring countries or they are in town seeking employment. Yeah. And most of them are not even sending any remittances back home. Like the example of Spatisi were there. The husband has been gone for 18 years and he has never sent anything back home.
So, I mean, that sounds like a major re-education law about male gender.
Yes.
I mean, is anything going on?
What we are trying to do, some of these guys come back home over holidays, especially around Christmas. Yeah. So as an organization, we usually go on leave around that period because we think this is the time when people are working on their arable land. But we've decided that maybe one of these years we don't need to go on holiday, so that we try and catch these guys who've come in from Botswana and South Africa and have these workshops with them. And maybe slowly or gradually, they are going to appreciate the work that their women are doing. In fact, of the 85% that we are working with, 40% are already widows. So you can see.
I just wanted to ask, do you work? Does the trust work throughout Zimbabwe, or just in your southern Matabele land there?
In fact, when we get funds from Christian Aid, we put our proposals.